God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar. You will see the Bible come alive as you see the centuries unfold before your eyes. Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood, co-founder of Conservative Theological University, will present a 7,000-year world history and Bible timeline, revealing God's world history, past, present, and future. Recommended for pastors, Christian school teachers, Bible students, and homeschoolers. It all happens Saturday, August 27th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. A light lunch will be provided. Registration is $99 and includes syllabus, lecture, and the light lunch. You will never view the Bible in the same way after you attend this powerful, informative seminar presentation. It's God's 7,000-Year Kingdom Seminar with Dr. Dorothy C. Youngblood. Saturday, August 27th. Register now. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, should Christians always, and that's the key, the word always, obey government? Should Christians always obey government? That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you, your dialogue and discussion, your input. This broadcast is always valued and looked forward to each and every day. But ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about that question, should Christians always obey government? When we look at the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, understand at the time, Romans chapter 13 was penned by the human author, the Apostle Paul. Christians, he was the human author. God's the author of the scripture, but he was the human author, the writer. At the time that was written, Christians were being persecuted and prosecuted and being fed to the lions in the Roman Colosseums and even crucified. Some people interpret Romans 13 saying that Christians must always obey government. And ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not so at all. We're to obey government, the rules, the regulations, the guidelines of civil government, if civil government is following God and God's laws, God's ordinances, as found in the scripture. They are servants to God. Government is a servant to God, and God is the master. And the scripture is very, very clear in that first verse as we read before the news break, ladies and gentlemen. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The word power meaning authority. The powers that be are ordained, appointed, approved, set up of God, the scripture says. So, ladies and gentlemen, there's a deeper analysis of the text that we see in that seventh verse as you study Romans 13. It says, render therefore to all their dues tribute, that is taxes and recognition, to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear, that is reverence, to whom reverence, honor is due, and honor. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus himself said that we should render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. Now, if God ordained government, And if government is following God's laws and our Constitution today, as Greg just said when he called in, if that is the case, then, ladies and gentlemen, that's what government is ordained to do. But we have today, for example, a scenario across the nation where even the president of the United States of America, refusing to adhere to a U.S. Supreme Court adjudication about murder of a baby in a mother's womb. We have Joe Biden today that is totally disobeying, if you please, totally ignoring his responsibility as president of the United States to protect our borders and to keep our nation a sovereign nation. Just yesterday, in the state of Florida, Governor DeSantis had to suspend a state attorney, a liberal prosecutor, as it's called, suspended him simply because of what he was doing. Listen to the article. Governor DeSantis suspends lawless Soros-funded prosecutor, dated August the 4th. A George Soros-linked liberal prosecutor in Florida has been suspended from his duties after he openly announced that he would defy state laws regarding child sex changes. Governor Ron DeSantis on Thursday announced that Andrew Warren, the Hillsborough County state attorney, had indicated his intent to refuse to enforce laws in state related to abortion and child transgender surgeries. The governor said Warren's suspension would begin immediately, and he potentially could be removed from office in the near future over his stated intention to ignore laws passed by the state. The governor explained Warren had signed a letter saying that he would not enforce any prohibitions of sex change operations for minors in the state of Florida. Warren also signed a letter saying that he would not enforce any laws relating to the protecting of the life in the state of Florida, the governor added. The governor confirmed that the state prosecutors have a duty to prosecute crime as defined in Florida law, not to pick and to choose which laws to enforce based on personal agenda. It is my duty to hold Florida elected officials to the high standards for the Florida people of Florida. While Warren is on suspension, the governor's office explained that he is one to controlling that. Ladies and gentlemen, the point that I bring that into as a reference, as if you will, proof as an example of what I'm saying. Here's a state attorney that says, I'm not going to obey the laws of the state of Florida. I'm going to pick and choose the laws I want to obey. Ladies and gentlemen, the whole point is that the Constitution of the state of Florida, just as the Constitution for the United States of America, just as the Bible is the Constitution for the Christian, we need to understand, going back to the Romans 13, that God created civil government as a servant of God. And here are laws that says in the state of Florida, you cannot murder a baby in the womb. Here are some laws in the state of Florida that says you cannot take a child and teach them the critical race theory, the sodomite lifestyle in the classroom without being prosecuted. And here's a prosecutor that's supposed to prosecute evil and protect good that's doing the reverse of that. And Governor DeSantis did that, which is honorable, a stand-up man, when he says, I'm not going to allow that to continue in the state of Florida, and suspends the state attorney for his disavowing, disobeying, disallowing the rule of law in the state of Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a good example of what I'm saying. But ladies and gentlemen, as we understand it, even government belongs to God as God's servants. So when government disobeys God, when government disallows God's laws, God's word, Christians are not to submit or to obey. For to do so is to disobey God. That's the bottom line, is to disobey God. I'm looking at an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says, brand new marriage laws called out for attacking people of faith. It was only a couple of days ago that Franklin Graham, who heads the International Christian Ministry Samaritan's Purse, issued a serious warning about a leftist plan in Congress that purportedly would establish same-sex marriage laws. He noted that the deceptively named Respect for Marriage Act, and said it could create significant problems in America. God says that marriage is between one man and one woman, not two men or two women. Let me pause there, ladies and gentlemen. If God's law says that God created male and female, created he them, Genesis 1:27. If God's law says that God created a male and female, he didn't create Adam and Steve, he created Adam and Eve. If God's law says that, if we find that in God's word, if the federal government, the state government, the local government issue an edict, issue a rule, a regulation, executive order, or a law that says otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, it is to be totally disavowed, disobeyed, disregarded, disrespected, and not adhered to at all. Yes, do we answer the question, should Christians always obey government? The answer is no. No. Now, when that sign, you're driving down the highway and you see a sign that says STOP. Back when I was in high school, I thought that meant slide tires on pavement. But STOP means stop. And we're to obey that. There's nothing that counters the word of God in doing so. And I could go on and on and on with the civil laws and the statutes that's on the books that honor God, and it's as it should be. And it goes back to the fact that our first 10 laws were, by our founding fathers, recognized as what we call in the scripture the Ten Commandments. And ladies and gentlemen, we have now hundreds and hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of laws. In fact, most laws are never taken off the books. You can go to the archives of the laws in New York City. And there's a law in the books in New York City that says if you leave your dead mule on the sidewalk for more than 24 hours, you're going to be fined $3. That law has never been taken off the books. It's still the law. But we don't have mules running around in New York City, I don't think. Now, you might have some human beings that act that way. But nevertheless, the whole point is, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the law of God. And here in this article, Franklin Graham speaking, he noted the deceptively named Respect for Marriage Act and said it would create significant problems for Americans. God says that marriage is between one man and one woman, not two men, not two women. The GOP used to believe that too. That's the grand old party, the Republicans, he said. Quote, will you pray for God's intervention as this bill moves into the Senate? Only he, speaking of God, can save us from our evil and rebellious ways. Make sure you know how your representatives vote because it reveals where they stand on these and other important biblical moral issues and laws. Now, a letter has been sent by dozens of leaders of our nation's biggest Christians and biggest Christian and conservative organizations to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, asking him to reject the agenda outright. For those signing the letter, included officials from Alliance Defending Freedom, the Heritage Foundation, Family Research Council, Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, Concerned Women for America, Christian Legal Society, First Liberty Institute, Liberty Council, and dozens more. The article states by Michael Ferris says, when culture and political institutions fail to respect the institution of marriage, which I could call, side note, God's law, and instead promotes open aggression against those who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman, they not only undermine human flourishing, but seriously harm religious freedom and God's law. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, should Christians always obey government? The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call is invited. Love to hear from you. Do you think that it is necessary for Christians to simply sit back lackadaisically, lethargically, and say, yes, God's word says we need to obey the laws of the land, so therefore it's all right? Ladies and gentlemen, there are times when man's laws, that is government, goes against God's law. Let's just look at a few examples of that. I've outlined two or three examples that I'd love to share with you. Daniel 1, verse 8, and I'll give you the Youngblood narrative of it. Your leisure, you can go back and read the actual King James text, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. King Nebuchadnezzar planned to have Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah to eat and to drink from the king's menu. They chose to obey God, not to participate in dishonoring God. You read that in the scripture, in Daniel chapter 1. You find that Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, name changed Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. And ladies and gentlemen, you find that when the king wanted them to eat from the king's goods, the king's meat, which had been offered to idols, the king's drink, which the king's meat and the king's drink were both antithetical to what God would have them to do. So they said no. But it was the regulation, the guideline. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, the king ordered everyone to bow before the false god. The king had created a false god, placed it in the plains of Dura, and when the music played, when the band would strike up the music, everybody was supposed to bow and bend and worship that false god. That was the law. That was the order. That was the requirement. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused. They were thrown in the fiery furnace, but they did not burn, ladies and gentlemen, because they refused to obey the law of the government and honored God and God's law. I'll give you one other example, and then we'll take our caller. Daniel, the 6th chapter, the first 10 verses, the king signed an order, a king's laws. The law of the Medes and the Persians could not be altered, could not be modified, could not be changed once it was issued as a law. The law ordering everyone not to be able to pray to any god for 30 days or they would be thrown into the den of lions. Daniel disobeyed the civil law. He obeyed God's law. He knew that the headline read that if you disobey this law, your head's going to be in the noose, if you will. Your life is going to be taken. Daniel was not frightened. He was not afraid. He continued to pray three times a day, the scripture says, as he had aforetime, praying to his God with his windows being open toward Jerusalem. Anyone could see, anyone could watch that he was obeying God rather than man and man's laws. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Bible is replete with evidence of how we should respond in the 21st century in modern culture when we have a whole plethora of laws and rules and regulations, executive orders coming down, and we're going to be faced with them again before this year is over, ladies and gentlemen, because of the perceived national health emergency that Joe Biden has just declared. We're going to find the government will want to take control of the businesses and churches and shut them down, shut us down, so that somehow, some way, we'll be subservient and submissive to the government and not to God. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Pastor Davis, go over with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are. I hope everything is going well.
Well, sir, yes, sir. This little emergency came up this morning, and I regret that I could not be there with you. Of course, I'm always delighted to join you, you know, each time. But I thank God for the discussion and for the subject that you have on today. Should Christians always obey the government? And I would say a big fat no, especially when it comes down to if they're telling us to do something contrary to the word of God as to what we believe. We have to know that if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And we need to know also, the scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs that the righteous are bold as a lion. And I think it's time for us to wax bold and stand upon the word of God, because God, he will fight our battles no matter what we're facing on
Amen.
Today.
Amen.
When we go to the book of 1 Timothy, it tells us over there, first of all, I'd just like to say, just for a side note, that Christians are a pattern. I think we set the bar for the rest of the world. This is what God intended for us to be. Ever since he first founded his people, he gave them a set of laws and rules and things to govern themselves by so that they would be a peculiar people. That means unlike any other. When we get up to where God wants us to be, then, of course, we're always going to be law-abiding citizens, especially when it comes down to doing what his word says. So when we go to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse number 8 says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Now, that's any man, not just a saved man, not just a believer, but if any man abides by the law or obeys the law and uses it rightfully, then we don't have to worry about being lawbreakers and falling under the penalty of what it says that we are, the punishment is for breaking the law. So then he goes down and saying, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. And there's a whole list of others in there. Don't have the time to go down through it right now. But if you read down through that, it tells you who the law was made for. But it was not made for a Christian, because Christians, again, are to be a pattern for the rest of the world, because we have the righteous part down on the inside, which is the Spirit of God. And as long as we are led by the Spirit of God, we are always going to do what the Word of God says, and especially more what the law says, as long as it agrees with the Word of God. Amen.
Absolutely. Our founding fathers were very, very clear in giving us the documents we have today. And our founding documents were founded on what is called natural law, which is the law of God, which is coming from God. And our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, are all designed to undergird and to promote that which God has given us in our freedoms. Pastor Davis, I'm looking at Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 12, and the time won't allow us to read it. You know the story there, but let me just give the narrative for our listeners. The wise men were searching for Jesus. They'd seen the star. They knew the Old Testament text in the book of Numbers that when the Messiah, Yeshua Messiah, would come, that there'd be a star. So they're following the star to find the place where Jesus is. Jesus had been born approximately 2 years at this juncture, so he's what you'd call a toddler. He's a young toddler, 2 years old. And so they're there. The king says, go find him, and when you find him, come back and tell me where he is, that I can go worship him also. Many people read that as the wise men's story. That's generally read at Christmas time, but it's applicable, I believe, today, because the king says, go find Jesus, come back, tell me where he is. God says, and I'm paraphrasing, God says, no, you don't. You go this way, but don't you return and tell the king anything. The king set a rule, an edict, an executive order, and the wise men, wise they were because they were obedient to God, and they went a different direction. They did not go back and tell the king. That's a good prima facie evidence that the scripture says that we ought to obey God and not government in some things that are against the Word of God. How do you respond to that? Amen. What are your thoughts, and what do we say to our listening audience today?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I can't better that, you know, in the way that you put it right there. That's a prime example right there for us to know and understand that this is the way that it should be handled each and every time. Because when we realize that God said that we are living, or his word says that we are living in this world, but we are not of this world. Of course, we're not encouraging anyone to go out and break the law and say, oh, I don't have to do that because I'm a Christian and I'm not bound by that. Yes, you are. Because when you look at the law, again, like you said, the law was supposed to have been set up from the Word of God. This is where it came from. This is how we got our constitutional rights and the way that the country was set up here for us to live by the Word or by the law of the land. So it was also supposed to be built from the Word of God. Everything that's there is coming from the Word of God. But then when we go to the book of St. John, I think it is when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate told him, said, don't you know I have the power to bind you? I have the power to let you go. Jesus said, you wouldn't have no power at all except it came from my Father.
Amen.
So we have to know. I mean, we look at these things. Government sometimes have to be reminded where they get their power from, and it comes from the Word of God. Amen.
Absolutely. Pastor Davis, I've got an article. It's an expansive article. And the title of the article is very, very good. It says, when human laws collide with divine laws. And I'll just break into a point here. And it says, civil authority plays an important role in the establishment and maintenance of an orderly society. However, government only accomplishes this by complying with God's purposes. According to the scripture, the government's purpose is to punish evildoers and to reward those who do right. Any government that fails or refuses to do this cannot be classified as a God-ordained government. Generally speaking, when governments ignore God's purpose for their existence and depart from their divinely specified role, they will soon begin to infringe upon citizens' rights, hindering their freedoms, crushing their spirits, stifling their productivity. Communism has always repeatedly demonstrated this very fact. Many people have misconception about what God actually appointed when he ordained the higher powers. And it goes on to exegete and talk about Romans 13. Further in this article, Pastor Davis, informed people recognize that some governing authorities do not function within the range of God's revealed will. Such governments do not respect God's model. They do not carry out God's role. God does not ordain state-sponsored persecution of Christians. He does not ordain the indiscriminate slaughter of people based upon their ethnicity. God did not ordain the practices of Lenin, Stalin, Hussein, and others. He does not ordain the current ethnic cleansing of some Philippines and in other places. God does not ordain the cruel and merciless slaughter of 1.5 million human beings every year in the United States. He does not ordain the passage of laws that classify deviant sexual behavior, such as homosexuality, the same way it Amen. Classifies race or color. Yet our country has done this very thing. And a footnote that he adds, it is important that people understand the limitations that God has placed upon governing authorities. Human lawmakers do not have the right, this article says, to pass ordinances that serve the purpose of maintaining order in society, but they do not have the right to pass ordinances that defy divine precepts or deny divine permission. When legislators Amen. Pass laws that contradict divine laws, they violate their God-given roles in ordained government. When it comes to the work of defining good and evil, it is very, very clear, and you touched on that a moment ago, there's one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy, and thou art that judge of others, James 4:12. God is the one that is the ultimate judge and the ultimate lawgiver. Pastor Davis,
Amen.
We've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Take this minute and give some closing thoughts and challenges to our listeners, Christians that may be concerned or confused, Christians that may be weak and immature in the Word. How should we instruct them based on the question today? Should Christians always obey government?
Well, let me say, Dr. Youngblood, thanks again for allowing me to have this little part here with you on today. But I just want to encourage all of our brothers and sisters in Christ, amen, to take heart and just to know, amen, that all we have to do is stand on the Word of God. And no matter how they come against us and try to maybe persecute us, you know, God is still going to fight our battle. You will come out victorious on the other end. But just make sure that you be informed. Know what the laws are. Know who these people are that we're putting in office, and know what the laws are that they're trying to pass on the books, so that you don't end up making a great big mistake voting for something that you think is going to work for your good that ends up working out for your bad in the very end. So let us be encouraged in the Lord, and let us keep loving one another and lifting up the name of Jesus.
Amen. Absolutely, absolutely correct. Pastor Davis, thank you so much. Have a blessed day today. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been our delight to join you today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.